Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Time to talk about income taxes with Mary Mellum of Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. She and her husband, David, have been in the tax business for more than 30 years. They serve individuals, consult other tax professionals, and teach tax seminars around the country. So, as we talk with Mary, what questions do you have about your taxes? Join in. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Mary Mellum, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ooh, we have some funny noise going on.
It sounds like... Not sure exactly what's going on there, but Mary, we've got lots that we can talk about today, that's for sure. Already several callers online, but what should folks do if they don't think they'll be able to file before the tax deadline on April 15th?
They need to file an extension. And it is...
You know what? I think, Mary, we're going to call you back, and we will we'll get this straightened out here. Mary Mellum, our guest today, talking taxes with her. You can join in, too. You can shoot us an email. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, or, again, you could call us at 1-800-642-1234. I'm interested in what she has to say about the $1,400 payment that many people just received. I know we can talk about changes in the unemployment taxation for 2020. And there's something called the premium tax credit that needs some conversation as well. So those are some of the things I have on my mind. And I know we've got questions coming up on 401ks. And who gets to write off a child? So we'll get to all of those, and I think we've got Mary back now. Mary, are you with us?
I am.
Oh,
and a lot clearer.
Okay. Well, let's talk about business about the tax deadline for April 15th. People are still going to have to pay, aren't they? Or
well, yes, but here's the deal. Even if you don't have the money to pay the tax bill, you need to either file a return or file an extension, and then file the return before the extended due date. The reason you need to file, regardless of whether you owe, is because if you don't file timely, there is a 5% per month penalty up to 25% of the tax due.
Ouch.
And yes. That is definitely an ouch. If you file the tax return or file the extension and file the tax return by the extended due date, which is October 15th, you save yourself that penalty. There is still a penalty for failure to pay, but it's only 0.5% per month. So there's a big difference if you don't, you know, between not filing a return and putting it off or just not paying for the return. IRS also has provisions where there are provisions to make payments on, you know, time payments or payments as you go along. But it is always better to file the tax return currently and then make arrangements to make payments.
Yeah, and the extension, how much time do you have? How much
you
more
have a,
time do you have?
You have a 6-month extension with
okay.
The normal return. Last year, we had the extended due date up to at July 17th and then a shortened extension period up to October 15th. But this year, the due date is April 15th. The extended due date is October 15th.
Got it. Well, our lines are all filled, so let's take a call here. Aaron first in Oshkosh, what's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hopefully a straightforward question. Due to a couple bouts of COVID-cation, unfortunately I never got COVID, but it turned into about 6 weeks of lost income for me at the beginning of this year. I was told about the IRS saying that you could clear out your 401k, which would then make that money available to you now, and that at the time I was told you got 3 years to pay it back without penalty. But I was also told at the time that no one's even sure if you will have to pay it back. So I'm wondering if you have any updated information regarding that.
Okay. What you're talking about is the provision in the CARES Act that allowed you to take money out of your pension and allowed you to avoid the 10% penalty, because many people working are under 59 and a half, and so there would be a 10% federal penalty for that. Also, the state has a penalty. And you would be able to pay that money back, include that money in income ratably over 3 years. If you were able to roll back any of that money within the 3 years, of course, that reduced the amount due for that particular year. That was a provision of the CARES Act, which involved distributions from the pension fund between January 1st and before December 31st. There has been nothing in the tax bills that I have seen to make that non-taxable.
Okay.
So if you did take it out, the IRS created a form. I believe it's like 8615 is the form that they created to create this tax, so 130 each year. And so I've heard no provisions about forgiving that.
Okay. There you go, Aaron. Thank you for calling. Larry in Bloomington, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Yeah, Larry, we listen to your program when my wife and I go visit our daughter in Brookfield. So we're hooked on your show, and now we listen online. But I have two questions. One is my IRA distribution or drawdown. Last year, because of COVID, they eliminated the RMD requirement. But I did get payment for January and February, so I did pay that back, was able to. Then when I got my 1099-R, it included the total draw, so I had to have to deal with that. I was told there's something called a 5498 rollover. Now, this is complicated by the fact that I did make charitable distributions, but anyway, when I claim my QCD, my total income will be, instead of $10,000, which I drew out, will be around zero. Well, will be zero. So that's my first question, and there's no place on the electronic form that I can see that I can list QCD. My second question is, a year ago, I had a capital loss of around $12,000, which I can only take $3,000 per year. So I was going to take $3,000 again this year. But with my income so low, I think it would benefit me to skip this year. Can I skip a year on a capital loss? That's my second question.
Okay. Let me take the capital loss first. No, you cannot skip a year. However, if your income is such that it does not that you don't use that up, the forms will automatically calculate a carry forward of it. So if it were to take you negative or something like that, it would preserve it. But you cannot choose to make it this year or the other year. It's just the way the numbers fall out as far as the capital loss is concerned. Then we'll go back to the first question. The first question for the RMD is that if you took the money out of the RMD before the CARES Act, there was a special notice that came out in June that allowed you to roll the money to roll the money back for that period as long as you did it before August 31st. And if it was included in the 1099s, because there isn't a nice way with lots of codes for the 1099s. So if it was included in there, you would have to mark it as a rollover so that the IRS would know that that money was rolled back. But and then the QCD on top of it allows you And I don't know how your software, whatever you're using for software, does, but it allows you to put money into, give money directly to a charity and reduce the taxable amount. And when you're filing a tax return, the word rollover and the word QCD should show up on that line in order to tell the IRS that that's why you're not including the full amount of what's on the 1099. So hopefully what you did as a QCD did not exceed the amount that you actually took out regardless of the rollover.
Yep. All right.
So you can't have double dips. If you didn't pick it up, then you can't have the QCD benefit. And if you really did send the money to the organization, then you might have a regular charitable contribution.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Larry, for calling. Janice in Boscobel, it's your turn. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
What can we do for you? Yeah, what can we do for you?
There's three of us that are part of a small LLC. My question is it true that even if our individual income does not meet the requirement to file taxes, we still have to file if the LLC K-1s show a profit, because the LLC has to pay federal and state taxes?
Okay, good question. There is a filing requirement, and I'm assuming when you say LLC, you're a single-member LLC taxed as a partnership, not as a corporation, not as... and it couldn't be a disregarded entity. So I'm going to do it based on a partnership. The K-1 from your partnership would pass through income, and that income would belong on your individual tax return. If you are under the filing requirement, technically you do not have to file. However, depending on where the income is coming from in the partnership, whether it's business income or rental income, if it happens to be business income, the filing requirement, if that income is subject to self-employment, is around $400, not the normal filing requirement that you have for filing a tax return. So there's reasons why, even though you're below what we would normally think of as the filing requirement for a return, that you would have to file and still maybe owe little or no tax.
All right. There you go, Janice. Thank you so much for that question. Appreciate it. Mary Mellum, our guest today, tax professional from Green Bay. She and her husband, David, operate Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your taxes with tax expert Mary Mellum of Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. Always great to have her come by. Join in. Lines are all filled right now. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn to Steve in Wausau next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just... I've got a possibility of not having to file taxes this year. I was reading on the IRS instruction book, page 9. It says you take one half your Social Security and any other gross income, and if it's under $25,000, you don't have to file. And I didn't take any RMDs from any of my IRAs or anything because they said we didn't have to, but. Should I file just in case they have a couple more of these stimulus checks come out and things like that, or what's your opinion on that?
What you're quoting about the Social Security is the $25,000 has to do with determining whether the Social Security itself has to be included in income. That statement is not saying whether you have to file a tax return or not. So be careful of that. So filing a tax return, depending on your status, whether you're, you know, 65 or over. I assume you're over 65, or you generally wouldn't be talking about RMDs. So, and whether you're single or married. As far as that goes, if you are under the magic number, which is it's your standard deduction for federal purposes, and that standard deduction is different whether you're married, single, over 65 or not. And if you're under that number for federal purposes, you would not have to file a tax return. The IRS is not going to penalize you for filing a tax return. So there are occasions when we do, and to have your numbers in there, it's not necessarily a bad idea. And again, just in case you've made a mistake in your filing and your return is really more than what it is, it starts the statute of limitations for being able to assess taxes. So I don't think it's a bad idea, you know, if you're questioning it at all. The other thing is be careful that the state and the federal filing requirements are different. The state has a little bit lower filing requirement than the federal return does.
All right. There you go, Steve. Thank you very much for calling. Terry in Baraboo, your turn now. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I sold my house of 38 years living there last year. I received less than $250,000 in proceeds. I've got a 1099-S form. Do I have to fill out line 7 for a capital gain?
Since you have a 1099-S, the IRS is going to be looking for that form. If you don't file it and it belongs on a Schedule D or the 8949 form first and then flows to D, and you should file it just to reconcile even if there is no tax due. Now, for you to have received a 1099-S, generally it means that you didn't meet the exceptions that are usually noted at closing. And those are, have I lived in the house 2 out of the last 5 years? Do I have a gain less than $250,000? Again, if you're a single person. But the other one is, have you ever used this home for business? And if you didn't answer that, if you did answer, yes, I've used it for business, that may be why you got the 1099. And in that case, the depreciation that you may have taken on the home for business is going to come back to be a taxable part. The rest of the sale probably is not going to be taxable.
All right. There you go, Terry. Thank you for calling. Tim in Combine, on to you now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hi, guys. Yeah.
Hi. What can we do for you?
My deal is, well, I'm kind of like one of those that got laid off and then came to the end of the layoff period. And so I live out in the country where I don't have the internet, and I had a Oasis job, and that's gone, and there's no more Oasis jobs on here. So I'm pretty much not going to get any of that unemployment or, you know, cut off. But my question is, last year I did my taxes late because that COVID virus came and took out, I was getting it done through American United Way. And they kind of stopped procedure like right in the middle of that COVID virus thing. And so I got like canceled out. So then I ended up waiting till like the last minute to file my taxes. And so I did it through TurboTax and I don't got them. I never got state or federal. And I don't know what the amounts were. So I couldn't like verify to find out what, you know, if I could find out what was going on. So I never heard nothing, never got nothing, and don't know nothing. And I'm back with United Way again, and they don't seem to know anything about what happened to the people last year as far as their taxes go. So I was wondering if there's any – I heard they shut down because of the COVID, so they weren't processing anything. And so I was just wondering, am I going to get my taxes back this, from last year, or are they just
– Well, okay. First of all, when you did TurboTax, did you make a copy of your own tax return – when you file that way?
have all that when you're, I just go to my mother's house to get on the internet. So that was like once a week that I could do that. And
okay. You didn't print a copy yourself.
No.
So you have nothing to look at. Is that correct?
That's correct. I got nothing.
Okay. Do you know how much you had coming back in a refund from the state and the federal?
I don't know the exact numbers. It would have been probably somewhere around, let's say, 400, 900
okay.
something.
First of all, if you did file with the state and the federal and you know the numbers, you can go on to the state and federal website and ask under Where's My Refund? And you would have a possible trace of it. You may also find out whether it's been filed or accepted if it comes back with no information. That's one avenue. The other thing to do for the federal, there is a form 4506 that you can request a copy of your tax return. If that doesn't do any good, and it does take a little while to do that, my advice would be to call the taxpayer advocate and explain your situation to them and find out if there's something that they can do to help. Obviously, the tax return is somewhere if it was electronically filed properly. No tax professional has any magic that they can go and see things from the IRS without a power of attorney from you. So you would either go through the IRS and see what you can do there, or you would have to file a power of attorney with someone so that they could have the authority to look in your file to see what's there.
Yeah. And I guess TurboTax itself, I imagine you could contact them and try and get a copy of the files, wouldn't you, Mary?
I would guess so. I have to plead that I know very little about TurboTax.
Right. So those are your options, Tim. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Let's turn to Tom in Eau Claire. Your turn, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My daughter graduated from college last May, and I claimed her previously. I've been claiming her as a dependent, and I think I'm eligible to continue to claim her in 2020. But I believe she's eligible for a retroactive coronavirus rebates of the $1,200 and $600. So in general, do you think I'd be better off not claiming her as a dependent for 2020?
The idea of dependency is that there are rules about whether she is your dependent or not. If you meet those rules, you should be claiming her. If you don't meet those rules and she is her own independent person, that's when she has the right to it. Dependency is not something that you can play a game with and say, oh, what can I get the best tax benefit by doing it or not doing it? And as far as dependency is concerned, for that student that graduates during the year, first of all, she has to be under the age of 24 and a full-time student for at least 5 months out of the year. May generally gives you that part. But the piece that's important there is, did she provide more than half of her own support for the entire year? If she is a college graduate and got a job after graduation, there's a good chance that you wouldn't meet that qualification. Now, if she's going to grad school or something, that's a different story, but it would depend probably on her income and how much it takes to support her for the year and where that comes in.
Okay. There you go, Tom. Appreciate your call. Well, Mike in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Mike, hi.
Hi. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of a similar situation to what Tom had. My son filed with TurboTax. We got notification the return was accepted, but he left out that Affordable Care Act deal. So we got a letter, said he had to, refile. So we sent that in June or July to the IRS, and it seems like the return has just completely disappeared. When we go to Where's My Refund, there's no record. Called the IRS a couple times, and that's kind of like, you know, talking to the wall. How do we go about trying to figure out what happened? He got his state refund, so that the filing went through. It just kind of at a loss on how we can get that straight.
Let me ask, in filing with TurboTax, after you filed with them, you got a letter from the IRS that said you didn't include the Affordable Care information in it. Do I understand that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. And did you answer the letter with the tax return, or what was your process after that?
So we did a corrected tax return. Unfortunately, I didn't do an X. I did a 1040 on it again. Sent everything in to, I think it was Kansas City. It was or you know, whatever office it was. Now
okay.
My problem is I can't find the copy of the submittal anymore. But it seems like at that point it just disappeared.
Here's what I guess happened, is that the IRS has not opened the letter yet. Because if it's not proper, they would have responded to you. But the IRS is still not finished with 2019. They have mail that they have not completely opened and responded. And so I believe that you're lost in that transmission somewhere. The only person that has the answer to those things are the IRS itself. And again, like I mentioned to Tim, if you can talk to someone at the IRS or talk to a tax professional sometime after April 15th, because I'm sure you won't get much of an answer before that, but with the power of attorney, they may be able to go in and take a look at his account and find out, you know, where the process is, or talk to someone at the IRS. And you have to have patience when you call the IRS, because it takes a long time for even a professional to get in to talk to anybody at the IRS. So you are just on hold until they respond to you or you get to someone to find out where it is.
Okay, so there you go, Mike. So it's a waiting game for you, the way it sounds a bit. Thank you for calling. Ricardo in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Ricardo.
Hi, I have a question in regards to how to file money that I receive to pay for school. So there are not scholarships, but it's a money as someone from a private donor. I'm wondering if I need to file those or not.
If the money that you received is from a private person, not through a grant or scholarship, and it's just a private person, that would be a gift to you. And as far as that, gifts are not taxable income. If they're scholarships or grants, then there's a different situation with that. But if it's just some nice person gave you money to go to school, it's not a taxable event. You, of course, would have an education credit. If you use that money for tuition, there's a potential of an education credit that you would be able to get. If it were a grant or a scholarship, before you calculate that credit, you would have to reduce your tuition by the amount of grant or scholarship. And again, that would not be taxable, because as long as it doesn't exceed your tuition, it's kind of a trade-off, so to speak.
Okay. All right. So you're in pretty good shape there, Ricardo. Thank you for calling. Kirby in Paoli, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Yeah, I've got a question on the state and federal tax withholding from unemployment compensation.
And so I filed my taxes before the CARES Act was passed. And I've heard that the withholding from unemployment compensation has changed with the CARES Act. So I'm wondering, is that true? And if so, should I file an amendment?
Okay. I think you're not talking about the CARES Act. I think what you're talking about is the non-taxability of unemployment. Is that what you've heard about the unemployment not being taxable?
Yeah, I think that's it,
okay.
Yes.
The unemployment, and this is a new thing, and it is important for anybody that has filed their tax return for this year, is as a part of the RESCUE, the American Rescue Act, which was recently passed, which is why people or under what law they're getting the $1,400, that provision has a provision for unemployment up to $10,200 to be non-taxable. And with that being said, there are returns that have already been filed, and for those people, the IRS is not ready to accept the amended return. If you have already filed your return and had your unemployment in it, let the situation play out, get your refund, pay your balance due, you know, whatever the situation is. And when that's finished or when the IRS says they're ready to accept amended returns, you'll have to file an amended return to get that, to get any money back on that as tax, you know, any of that tax that you paid on that money. Now, that is for federal purposes. At this point in time, Wisconsin has not announced whether they're going to follow it at all. So if Wisconsin does not follow it, your return for Wisconsin is filed properly. There is no adjustment to it. If Wisconsin decides to go along with the federal and does not tax unemployment, then both of them would need to be amended. For anybody that has not filed their return, I recommend that has unemployment, you need to hold off and wait for the IRS computers to catch up with the law. And at this point, they're not ready, and the software that professionals use is not ready yet to accept the unemployment, non-taxability of the unemployment. Mm-hmm. So they're working on it, and, you know, as soon as they get that feature fixed up, we'll be filing returns that have unemployment in it. And again, it's non-taxable for the first portion of the unemployment, and again, it is $10,200, and it is also restricted by your income, and your adjusted gross income has to be less than $150,000. So there's a couple of factors in there. For the most part, up to $10,200, people are not going to be paying taxes on their unemployment. But if you were in a hurry to get that money back and you filed the return, you're going to have to wait until you can amend that return. Sending in an amended return right now, the IRS isn't going to put you in front of the stack of everybody else that's waiting. So it will just go on a stack to be looked at later.
Okay. There you have it. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate that call, Kirby. Jill in Marshfield, your turn. Hi, Jill.
Yes, I just wanted to let the people know that are filing on their own and they're using software. One, go to the IRS website and go through the free file to make sure you're qualified, because then you know you're on a valid site. Two, any of the free file or any of the paid software that you use, all of them are going to ask you for your email address. And today they're going to have you put your cell phone number, email in so they can confirm it's you. Plus, you have to have a username and password. So I suggest Tom, who used his mother's internet, to go look on his computer in her email and see if he can see anything.
That sounds like good advice. Is that, what do you think, Mary?
Well, I know that those things are all available. I think it's important, first of all, anyone that does returns on their own should make sure that they keep a copy of that return. It's harder to go back to find it, and it's much easier to make a copy of it to begin with, and I think that would help with any of that. And, of course, keeping your username and password is essential if you ever want to go back on an electronic basis.
Yep, absolutely. Jill, thanks again. We'll go to Ann in Milwaukee next. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning. I am still waiting for a 1099 INT from the IRS for the 2020 tax year, and it's now the middle of March. Interest was paid to me last year for my sizable 2019 tax refund. Because I filed it in the special extension period, which was after April 15th and by July 15th, 2020, and there was a special disaster provision to pay interest on refunds paid during this period. Even that was a challenge for me to figure out why I got the payment. Anyhow, I have an immaterial amount, almost $150 in interest that was paid to me. So I spent an exasperating hour on the phone with three different IRS people, and no one really knew what I was talking about. The last IRS person I was transferred to, which was in the tax law department, said the 1099 INT for 2020 wasn't in my IRS account, and it wouldn't likely show up until May 23rd of this year. But my 2020 taxes are due April 15th. So I then set up an account with the IRS, which is something I'd never had before, and just yesterday received a security code in the mail to finish setting it up. And I did verify the interest amount shows there, but there is no 1099 INT. And these interest payments were sent, according to news releases on the IRS website, to 14 million people in August of 2020 with an average interest payment of $18. And they said that a material amount is $10, so at least 7 million people may be in my situation. So I guess, how do I get my 1099 INT? I have not yet called any federal legislators about this. Do I just go ahead and file without it, or what do I do?
First of all, you seem to know exactly how much you received. Do I understand that correctly?
I saw it in my account, yep.
Put it on the tax return and file your tax return. You don't need to have a 1099 INT in your hand to put that amount on your tax return and file your tax return. It's wonderful if you have it, but it doesn't go anywhere. It's for your information, and from what you're saying, the IRS sees that it's there. So it's not a big deal not to have the form in your hand if you know the amount of money. The amount of money that you receive for interest is taxable income, so report it and go from there. And in answer to the IRS, they're trying to do everything that they can. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be at the IRS, because their normal business is filing tax returns and auditing returns and doing things like that, and Congress has dropped on their lap just in this last year three different stimulus payments that they're supposed to do their whole job and do all of this, plus the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, I think we have to cut the IRS a little bit of slack, because that's what they're doing. And, you know, you've got the information. As long as you've got it, any income that we receive that's taxable income, whether we receive a form or not, belongs on the tax return. So just go ahead and file your tax return. And, you know, the IRS will thank you in their own way for being an honest citizen and reporting your income.
Thank you, Ann. And thank you, Barry, for that great answer to that question. Appreciate it very much. Mary Mellum, our guest today, tax professional with Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals of Green Bay. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network, taking a look at your taxes today with Mary Mellum, tax professional from Green Bay. Been in the business for a long, long time with her husband, David. They operate Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals, and they are enrolled agents. So it's great to have her. Doesn't she know a lot? It's always fun to have her with us, and I always marvel at how much she knows about this whole process. We have full lines here. We can go, and we have some emails. Ruth emailed to ask what earned income has to do with IRA withdrawal and QCD for 80-year-olds with little or no income.
Earned income is income that you get from work that you do, whether it's a W-2 or whether it's self-employment. Earned income and IRA withdrawals don't really intersect. You wouldn't have IRAs if you hadn't worked at some point in your life, but once you're finished working or once you get to the age of 72, you have to start taking that money out of the IRA. But none of that has to do with earned income. And as far as if she's considering filing, your IRA is considered income, your IRA distribution. It's not earned income, but it is income for purposes of filing, being under the filing requirements. So I hope I answered that question to what she was looking for.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Ruth. Well, let's take another call. And Debbie in Appleton, I believe it's your turn. Debbie, hi.
Hi. I'll see if I can make this simple. In 2019, we had two dependents that we filed with, but in 2020, those dependents were independent.
Okay.
We filed for them their 2020 taxes, but because of the 2019 dependent filing, we just received that third stimulus for all of us. And I'm wondering what to do with it, whether to send it back or if the 2021 taxes would take care of it.
Okay. First of all, Debbie, I applaud you for being someone who takes a look at something and says, maybe this doesn't belong to me. So I applaud you for that. But the good news for you is that stimulus payments that you get are yours to keep. The only people that we've had anybody having to return stimulus payments on are people who were deceased, and there were special provisions with timing of death whether that money had to be returned or not. So if they issued that based on your 2019 return, it's your money and you do not have to return that money. For the new stimulus payment, it will be like the 2020 stimulus is. It'll be basically how much do you deserve, how much did you get, if you have more coming, you'll get extra, if you don't have any more coming, the door is closed. So you can sleep better tonight. As long as your kids are independent kids, you guys have won the lottery because you got it for them, plus if they're independent, they'll get it on their own return as well. And presumably provisions for the $1,400 will come through in 21 also.
So you hit the jackpot, Debbie. Thank you very much for calling.
Legally,
appreciate it.
You legally hit the jackpot. So
legally hit the jackpot, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for calling. Ann in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Ann.
Thank you. I've been trying to help someone who has multiple physical and mental health issues and found out that they have not filed their taxes anytime at all recently. Are they still eligible for the stimulus checks? And does it require them to go back and file those taxes in order to get them?
First of all, if you haven't filed the tax return, I'm not sure, you know, at the prior stimulus payment, if they were receiving Social Security or veterans benefits, they had a provision for sending the stimulus payment out based on that set of records as well as the tax records. If they don't fall into that category, I don't know that the IRS would know that they exist. Certainly, if they file their 2020 return and have not received the stimulus, they would be able to get that stimulus payment there. And as far as the 2021 payment, the $1,400, again, it depends on how far out the IRS is going to go. When they're doling out this money right now, you know, how soon you'd get that payment in to see whether it would get in those records. And maybe the IRS, again, will have the same situation that they did in 2020 to get that $1,400 in 2021. I guess the best I would say is file the 2020 return. If they had tax consequences for prior unfiled returns, the IRS will probably contact them, you know, once you get back on, or once they get back on the IRS's radar.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Stacy in Menasha, your turn. Hi, Stacy.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. So I heard somebody call in about the taxes regarding unemployment, and I thought I heard you mention that the software isn't up to date, so hold off on filing. Was I correct in the way you said that? Did I hear that right?
You heard that correct, Stacy. At last look, our professional software has not been updated. They're in the process of working on it to get the means to be able to put the unemployment in as non-taxable income. And again, the IRS has to get their computers set up to accept what the software brings them. Otherwise, until they do, you're going to have filed a return that the IRS shows has taxable unemployment, and they're going to, eventually it's not going to get into the right hole, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I would hold off until you can see if you're doing your own software, you know, if you're filing your own return using some of the software. I would be looking for some kind of an unemployment worksheet that shows you the determination of non-taxable unemployment before I start filing that return.
All right. There you go, Stacy. Thank you. Mike in Wanakee, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. So I have a question about the tax burden of a 403B in my future. I'm 60 years old, will be 61 this spring, and I retired from a state job last year, so I receive an ETF pension monthly, and I also am working for myself now. And so what I'm doing is the 403B now is not being contributed to, but sitting, and I don't plan to use any of those funds until it's mandatory in my 70s. But I also have a Roth IRA, and I'm putting $6,000 a year into the Roth IRA since I'm still working. So my question is it better to continue doing that than the $6,000 comes out of my yearly income, or would it make more sense to start drawing down the TSA to use that money to put into the Roth IRA, and then the money that I'm currently using out of my income could go into savings instead of the Roth?
Okay. First of all, the Roth IRA is not doing anything to your taxable income currently. The traditional IRA would. But the idea of a Roth IRA is putting money into an account, saving for the future, and that money grows tax-free. So many people agree with the Roth from that standpoint of putting money away. As far as, I guess I don't see, if you don't need the 403B right now, I don't see a reason why I would take that money out just to put it in a taxable account. at this point, your Roth is your 403B is still growing, and it's going to continue to grow until you start taking it out, which incidentally currently is age 72. So at that point, you're going to have to take it out. If you're not working at that point, you have less income to pay taxes on top of the 403B. And I'm an advocate of savings, so unless you need the tax deduction of a traditional IRA, the Roth seems to be a reasonable place to put it.
All right. There you go, Mike. Thank you so much. Well, Mary Mellum, our guest today, a tax professional from Green Bay, Wisconsin. She and her husband, David, operate Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. She'll be with us up until 12:30 today. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Mary. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Mary Mellum of Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. She and her husband, David, are enrolled agents, been in the tax business a long time. They serve individuals, they help out other tax professionals, and they teach tax seminars around the country. So what questions you have about filing your taxes, join in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mary Kathleen emailed to ask what date applies to property tax payments deductibility for 2020. The date the check was written, the date mailed, the postmark of the date the clerk logs in the check. So many places are not fully staffed. There seems to be delay in processing mailed in taxes.
Okay. Let me see if I got that right. You're talking about when does the IRS consider it received as far as meeting the deadline, the April 15th?
I think what she means, what she may mean, well, she may mean that. She may also mean if I paid my property taxes in December.
Okay.
On December 30th, I wrote the check, but, yeah, when does it count?
And that's a really good question as far as the property taxes, because we've run into situations like that. If the property taxes are paid, if they've received it by December 31st, the taxing body should, regardless of whether they open the mail or not, consider it paid by that time. And that would be looking at the postmark. It was an unusual time, not only because of staffing, but this year, the first day that I think people were back to work in the county offices for property tax purposes was January 4th. And with the holiday being January 1st, it makes reasonable sense that if you filed it, if you mailed it, that they may have received it and you mailed it properly and didn't open it until January 4th. A lot of the villages will put something in the note when you look up the property taxes that says received January 1st, dated earlier or paid in 2020. So that's what I look for when it's something controversial like that. If you can prove that they reasonably had the envelope by the last day of the year, I think that's fine. It's just
okay.
It's been a tough year with those kinds of things.
David emailed that a couple of years ago he made a down payment on a solar energy group buy. He paid 60% down, about $7,200. The company ended up in bankruptcy, and he didn't get the solar system, nor did he get his $7,200 back. Is there a way to claim this loss on his 2020 taxes?
Unfortunately, if that solar system is part of his principal residence, the only thing that I see for him is to go back after the company, and if they're bankrupt, that's not going to be very successful. But the loss on a personal item is a non-deductible loss tax-wise.
Okay. Unfortunately, David, sorry. Bill in Appleton has a question for you. Let's go there. Bill, hello.
Hello.
What?
Yes, hi.
What can we do for you?
Thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to work with the IRS to get my two brothers tax refunds and also to get questions on their taxes for 2019 resolved. And because we're not getting this resolved, they have not got their refunds. They're not getting their stimulus checks. And I was on the phone with the IRS supervisor today, and I was told that because the IRS is in such a disarray, they said, do not expect to have this resolved for the foreseeable future. Basically, just move forward and kind of forget about it. And I can't do that.
Well, I don't think you want to forget about it, but the procedure, if you're looking for the stimulus for this year and they have not gotten it, file the 2020 return and claim the stimulus on the 2020 return. As far as the $1,400, you're not going to get in the cycle to do it because they're trying to get it out as fast as they can. And as I mentioned before, I expect the 2020 stimulus to be paid out, or the 2021 stimulus to be paid out as a credit on the return, just like the 2020 is. The IRS, there's a lot of people, you're not alone and your brothers are not alone, that have 2019 returns hanging up there. And the IRS, first of all, is going to do what Congress asks them to do and get that stimulus money out first. That is number one, because Congress is breathing down their neck. And they're also in the middle of processing the 2020 returns. And that's going to come first. And anything else is going to take the back burner. That doesn't mean it goes away, but all I can say is tailor your expectations, because I don't know of anything you can do to speed up the process. Keep after it. But if they want their stimulus money, file that 2020 return.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Bill, for calling. Well, Kathy in McQuanigo, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. My question is, I worked at the polls, and I got paid for that, and I got a W-2. But the number one space is empty, and they put the amount down on the number 14 on the W-2. Is there a tax on that?
Yes. Poll workers' income is subject to tax. It's not subject to Social Security tax. But there is a lot of differences between the communities and how they treat it. The IRS came out with a clarification, I would say last year sometime, about the fact that poll workers' income is taxable income. And that's just the way it is. The line box 14 is an information box. And that's the way that organization has chosen to do it. We would recommend that they fill it out as income in box 1, and box 3 and 5 are not subject to Social Security on the poll worker's income. But that doesn't mean they all do it that way. So, yes, it's taxable income. Yes, you should include it on your tax return.
All right. There you go, Kathy. Thank you. Gloria in Milwaukee, your turn now. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. If one files a return using the standard deduction, I understand that you can also deduct $300 for donations. What about in Wisconsin? What amount do they allow for deductions?
As far as you're correct in the federal, the way that the federal is treating it, that if you have cash charitable deductions, not used goods, that you can take up to $300 of the cash charitable and include it on your tax return. The state of Wisconsin has also gone along with that provision in the sense that they will accept the federal amount and they will reduce your charitable contributions on your itemized deduction credit, if you qualify for the itemized deduction credit, by the amount that's already been used on the federal return.
Okay. There you go, Gloria. Thank you. John in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, John.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I had a question about the $600 a month that, for the unemployment that I received last year.
Yep.
And I heard with this new stimulus package, they were giving a tax credit on it so you don't have to pay the full taxes because they never took taxes out of it. Now I'm stuck owing $3,000-$4,000. And is that true, or is there how would I go about claiming that?
All right. Let me back up and just give a little bit of history. Unemployment is normally taxable income. Wisconsin has a provision for unemployment not being taxable if you're low income, and there's a formula for that. When you receive unemployment generally, it's going to add to your income, and generally it will cause tax consequences if you don't have withholding on it. Now, that was the way the law was until the American Rescue Act. The American Rescue Act passed a bill, and this has nothing to do with whether it was the 600 or the 300 or whatever the extra unemployment is. And the American Rescue Act says that you can exclude from income up to $10,200 of unemployment if you meet the conditions, and that is that your adjusted gross income is less than $150,000. This provision is for 2020 only. So you're going to have to, if you haven't filed your tax return, you will have to wait for the provisions of how to do it on the tax return electronically. Of course, if you do paper filing of your return, you just exclude it and hope that the IRS understands what you did, and file your tax return. But there will be a worksheet coming out for calculating how much is excludable, and that's what it is for 2020. I would recommend that if you are unemployed in 2021, you do not assume that this is true for 2021 and you have withholding taken out or make some arrangements to have the money to pay the tax on, because the law only provides this rule for 2020 at this point. I hope that helped.
Yeah. John, thank you very much for calling. We have John or Jen emailing to ask if their family was above the income threshold for stimulus in 2019, but below the threshold in 2020, 2020 taxes won't be paid and won't be filed until April. Will they get stimulus payment?
My short answer is yes. The rest of the story is that the stimulus payment, the $1,200 and $600, was actually a credit on the 2020 return. The stimulus that was paid out was an advance on that. And so if you are filing your 2020 return, the conditions are that you have to be under $75,000 for a single person, AGI, under $150,000 for a married couple, AGI. And if you're under that, the situation is going to say, here's what your credit is, how much did you get prior, and if they got nothing, then whatever is left over, they will get on the 2021 return. And it doesn't matter that it's not filed right now. It can be filed later. It is a credit as a part of the return, so as long as that return is due, as long as you're able to get a refund on that return, they should be able to get their stimulus for it.
All right. Sharon emailed that her 90-year-old parents received the first two stimulus checks in 2020 via direct deposit to their checking account. Her mother passed away on December 1st of 2020. Since she was alive for most of 2020 and the stimulus amount was based on their 2019 income tax filing, Sharon thinks nothing needs to be returned but can't find a definitive answer on the IRS website.
Sharon is correct. If the person, as far as the stimulus is concerned, if the person was alive at the beginning of 2020, they are entitled to it. And she does not have to return it. In the prior rule, or in the rules, it said because the stimulus was passed out to people based on the 19 return, people who had already died in 19 got the stimulus payment, and those are the people that had to return that stimulus payment. So if you were alive in 2020 and dead when you filed the tax return, according to the rules, you still are entitled to it, and nothing needs to be returned.
Cher in Menominee Falls emailed that her son filed his 2019 taxes on time. In July, he was informed he was missing a schedule that was not prompted by his tax software. He submitted the schedule within 7 days of the notice and has heard nothing since. How does he get his 2019 refund? And I think you've kind of answered that.
We seem to have had the 2019 refund dilemma. And again, you are at the mercy of the IRS and Congress and stimulus and all of this. And if you have done everything that you should with regard to that, eventually it will be taken care of. It's just sometimes there's no way to speed up the process. As time goes on, I probably would check with the IRS to hopefully see that they received it and they're working on it. Sometimes the IRS will send out letters when you have responded to an IRS letter, and this would be a similar situation of responding. And sometimes they will send out a letter that says, we're working on it, give us some more time. And all I can say is that with everything on their plate, the 219 refunds or returns are kind of on the lower end of the totem pole.
Yeah. Pat in Brookfield emailed that she rolled over an IRA at the end of March in 2020. She rolled it to another IRA. Does she have to withdraw an RMD based on the original IRA plus the IRA that she had rolled it over to? So both of them?
Okay. First of all, when we're talking about RMDs, an RMD distribution for the current year, and we'll use 2021 because in 2020, generally, there were no RMDs needed. So in 2021, when you're determining your RMD for that year, you look at the balance in the account as of December 31st of 2020. So there should be no problem with a rollover of double counting it, because on December 31st of 2020, that money should have gone out of one account showing zero if it's all gone, and so there's nothing to base that account on. And if it's gone to the other account, it will have inflated that other account, and you'll still be taking out based on the total sum, but it'll all be in one account. So again, I hope that makes sense. It is December 31st of the year prior to the year that you are taking the RMD for, that you use for the basis of the calculation.
Okay. Sandy emails to ask how one who has unemployment income legally well beyond the April 15th date for filing, is there a special form?
I think she's asking about an extension.
Yeah.
And the extension is, and I'm going to look up the number, 48. I believe the extension number is 4868 for an individual. I like to mix it up with the power of attorney form. And so it is the 4868 is the extension for individual returns. And she needs to file that by April 15th to give the extra 6 months' time.
Okay, there we go. Let's see. Sarah in Plymouth emailed, her two children were full-time college students in 2020. They claimed them as dependents on their married filing jointly return. One has filed a 2020 federal return to receive a small refund. Will they get the stimulus money?
If, and I hope that I heard the dates right, if she has claimed the kids as dependents properly on her 2020 tax return, those kids are ineligible for the stimulus.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Well, we had a lot of questions about, more than I thought we'd get, about the 2019 taxes, but I guess that's the way it goes. And I think you're right. The IRS is put in a very unenviable position this past year. And I want to thank you, Mary. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the show. You do such a great job, and I hope we can do this again.
Well, it is a pleasure to do it, and I wish everybody luck with their filing season.
Mary Mellum, our guest today, tax professional from Green Bay, Wisconsin, has been in the tax business for more than 30 years, and a good advertisement, I think, for consulting a tax professional like her or her husband David or some of the other enrolled agents who do such a great, great job. And, of course, Mary with Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals in Green Bay. It's very great to have her with us. Well, tomorrow, let's look ahead and see what's up for tomorrow. Reggie McLeod from Big River Magazine will be back to talk about life on the Mississippi River. And then at 11:45, we'll check in with the International Crane Foundation. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.